Welcome to Wonders, the One Hit Wonder podcast. I am your host, Ian Zandi, comedian here out of LA. What you just heard was the new theme song by Christian B. Schmidt. Thank you to that. Playing it every episode. We really appreciate it. This is Wonders, the One Hit Wonder podcast. Each episode, we have a special guest, usually a comedian, sometimes a musician. Today, that is the case. We have a friend of a friend, a musician. They picked a One Hit Wonder. There are no rules on this podcast, of course. Whatever we consider to be a one-hit wonder is a one-hit wonder, because rules can get really strange. It could be really popular in, say, Australia, but maybe not in the U.S. This song, undeniably very much popular all over the world, and probably more one of the more... can't talk right out of the top of the show. Probably... the most recent song that we've covered, a lot of the songs we've covered so far have come from like the early 90s, late 80s, but this one, just a decade ago. So without further ado, let's bring in our guest. Actually, I think exactly a decade now, 2021, back in 2011. Guest today is a contemporary rock artist, producer, sound engineer based in the South Bay cities of LA. He can co-founded the Radio Fire Records, of recording label and studio company dedicated to building up the next generation of artists in the South Bay and beyond. Please welcome JJ Braves.
What's happening? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, thank you. you chimed in. It's been a decade. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, that threw me off, actually. I looked at this. It was released in July of 2011, and it has like 1.5 billion plays or something like that, I think, on YouTube.
My God, 1.5
billion views. Yeah, on YouTube. The live video with Kimbra, or not the live, the music video with Kimbra. And I forgot how famous this song is and how fast it came and went. But I think it's a little bit underrated, actually. Like, listening back to it, it's sort of, like, understated. The song could have gotten really big, I think, but there's a really cool documentary that he made actually about the making of the record and showing his process. He like sampled lots of vinyls and made a lot of his own instruments and kind of made it himself in this barn in New Zealand, I think. And it's interesting once you know the context for the song with the record, because then it explains why it didn't turn into like, you know, some kind of big drums, you know, more in your face pop song. I just think it's a really interesting track to listen back to and try to pick apart all the cool stuff that he does to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree. I didn't see that he made a documentary about it. That's really cool. I re-listened to the whole record actually a few times yesterday, and each song on here sounds so different from each other song.
It does.
One song will sound like Beck. The other one will sound like, kind of a gospel inspired song. There's this song, which is kind of mellow compared to the rest of them.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It's like how it became a huge hit when you have other really, really dope songs on there.
I almost think that he didn't want, just judging by some of his statements and stuff, seems like he's kind of a reserved. He doesn't take any royalties, like when people use this song for student films, when he puts it on YouTube, he doesn't monetize it.
Really?
So so really interesting dynamics.
That kind of makes sense with what I saw on the documentary, because so much of what he did was, I mean, the whole thing really, it looks like, was DIY. Like, you know, it's cool to know that it sounds like he's supporting other artists and doing their own thing, you know. You're right, too. It doesn't sound like he was trying to write a hit single. Like I said, it's pretty understated, and it's really honest. But I mean, at some parts, it's a little kind of cringy for me, I think, just the lyrics. But that's sort of how he seemed to roll with that record, is just keeping it keeping it really real, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Did you hear the other song in that record, State of the Art? The one that's got like that boom, 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 boom. Do you remember that one?
I remember that one, but I don't know which one that was. I'm really bad with song titles. But yeah, there's I wrote down some of the titles. Let's see.
It had like that robot voice.
I really liked. Which one was that?
It had like a robot voice.
Oh yeah, that was a State of the Art, I think.
Yeah,
I did write that one down. Yeah. It's really weird, and I love it.
Yeah, man. It's in the documentary. He talks about how he had this old instrument that was at his parents' house, and I think he actually used it to record the song. But the song is all about the instrument. It's like an organ, like old school, like multi-sampler kind of thing. I thought that was super clever.
Yeah, and this was his third record by this point. And each of his records also sounds very different. And this is Gautier is actually a completely separate project from what seems to be his main project, which is The Basics. Have you heard any of their stuff?
No, I haven't, but I'm looking them up right now.
Yeah, it's a lot more pop rock influenced, kind of a little bit of Gary Clark Jr. influence I hear in there. Kind of like, you ever heard of The Shelters?
No, you're gonna hear that a lot from me
today. It's all good. There's a lot that I don't know either. Or Cold War Kids, they're pretty popular. Kind of more of that vibe. Yeah. Cool. But yeah, a lot more pop rock, radio friendly, I would say. Cool. Yeah. And then just for context, I'll read a little bit of the wiki intro just for the listeners, because we can't actually play the song because of copyright reasons.
For sure.
But we can talk all about it, of course. And Somebody I Used to Know is a song written by Belgian-Australian singer-songwriter Gautier, featuring New Zealand singer Kimbra. The song was released in Australia and New Zealand by 11 Music on July 5th, 2011, as a second single from Gautier's third studio album, Making Mirrors. Somebody I Used to Know is a mid-tempo ballad, samples Louis Bonfa's 1967 instrumental, Seville. And then he went on to award 45% of the song royalties to that estate. Which is, again, it circles back to him supporting other artists, which I think is really cool. This guy's dead. He probably could have gotten away with sampling it if he wanted to, but but he gave half of the song credit to this dead guy, which is great.
Yeah. What a dude.
Does this song have any special meaning to you or anything? I usually let the guests pick whatever one-hit wonder you pick this song. Why did it kind of reach out to you?
I just remembered it as, like you said, one of the more like recent one-hit wonders that I could think of. I just didn't really hear anything from him after it came out. And I'm trying to remember what was happening in music kind of around that time. I'm actually looking up what the Billboard was like in 2011.
Yeah, I feel like it was probably Fun was around that era.
We
Are Young. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was around this era. Maybe Lady Gaga. This was like early 2010. So trying to think what else was popular.
So
maybe Katy Perry.
Yeah, Katy Perry had Firework. Adele had Rolling in the Deep, which was the number one on Billboard for the year end. Moves Like Jagger by Maroon 5. It's all starting to come back to me now. That was quite a time. Was Coldplay still doing their thing at the time?
Coldplay had some. Yeah, I got into Coldplay around that year. This was probably right around when I was in college. So a lot of these songs, I think Paramore was kind of more popular at that point. And alt music is extremely my jam. So
for sure, me too.
Indie alt music. So anything in those circles, I'm like thinking what Death Cab Cutie.
Oh my god!
Album came out around that time.
I didn't listen to this high school.
Yeah, but they probably didn't have anything on the radio.
Yeah, So yeah, that's interesting to look up what else was happening at that time. It's like right before, well, maybe a couple of years before EDM just kind of took over, and then alt rock bands kind of weren't a huge thing for a while. It's all beat producers, and now it's all hip hop, of course. But
before they all kind of blended, Capital Cities was probably popular around that time, more leaning into the electronic alt music after that period.
Yeah, and I just thought the song was clever, man. It was neat to revisit it after so long and kind of wonder what the hell happened to this guy.
Yeah. And I did kind of look it up. It looks like he's mostly just working on music with his other band, The Basics. I think they put out another album about 2 years ago. Really good album. I kind of prefer it more than Gautier. Gautier, I kind of view as an experimental side project.
But you wonder if he felt the same way, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he feels about the band in general. I guess he wants to put out another album at some point, but he's just kind of sick of the song at the point.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people got sick of the song, which is a bummer because they didn't give the rest of the record a listen.
Oh, same. I mean, I love the song. I loved it when it came out. It still holds up. But yeah, there was a certain point where I'm like, ah, come on, can we play a different song? If you could describe this song in three words, what would those three words be?
I think I said understated earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty honest.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be the third word that you should describe that song? Kind of legit.
Understated, honest, and legit. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, do you remember when Rihanna came out with a single? I think it was maybe a couple years after that. I think it was called Stay. That she had a music video where she's in a bathtub.
Music video in the bathtub. I'm trying to think. I know some of Rihanna's singles, but not too familiar with her catalog.
Yeah, it was. I'd probably know if I heard it. It was with Mickey Echo. Named Mickey Echo, and it's just like piano and vocals, but it got so popular, so famous, and it was really just interesting to hear a song and somebody I used to know kind of reminds me of that, but a song that managed to be really, really popular without having like what felt like a huge amount of production on it.
Yeah.
And it just was like it was just really accessible to I'm trying to think of the right word. Yeah, it's just really open without too much frill on it as far as the production goes. I just think it's interesting when songs like that get super, super popular because when I think of one-hit wonders, I tend to think of like really poppy, you know, kind of products of their era sort of thing, and not these songs that might just be a lot more low-key, but they have a really good melody and some really good lyrics that are easy to understand. Kind of reminds me of when Green Day wrote I hope you have the time of your life.
Yeah, the like, Good Riddance. Yeah.
They had just come off of doing these really, really big rock singles, and then they turned around and did this acoustic thing, and then it became everybody's like graduation song, you know.
What was I saying? It was used in everything. It was used in like the Friends finale, and it's not like a good representation of Green Day in general.
Right.
But it's a thing that blew up, and they were able to jump off that.
Yeah. That kind of makes me pumped. Because, like, you know, you don't have to do anything super extravagant to have a really great single.
No.
You can kind of keep it close to home. And I think defying expectations is really neat when that happens in the context of really popular music. It's not, I keep saying that. It's not what you would expect when you think of, like, oh, this is a super... We're gonna make this super marketable song. We're gonna make a bunch of money off of it, you know. And then Gautier comes along and he's like, oh, "I'm just gonna make a song." I do wonder how much went into the promotion of the song, you know, like if they threw a bunch of money at it or if it just kind of went viral, and then
they threw, yeah, because it's really well crafted. I think just the raw approach of it, people can find it more relatable. Kind of more of the lyrics. It's obviously a breakup song. There's no subtext around that, really.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of subtext, though, that it was pointed out by some critics online. The song title, what is it exactly? Somebody That I Used to Know? If they were doing proper grammar, it would be Somebody Whom I Used to Know.
Yeah,
but using that, it kind of implies that they're more of an object, which, to downgrade them, that you hate this person so much, don't want them in your life, that they're more of an object. They're past tense, not even a person to you anymore.
That's an interesting take on it. I get what you're saying.
Which, almost, if it was anyone else, I would be like, okay, that's an accident. But Gautier seems like the kind of person where that's a pretty intentional wording.
You know, maybe. I feel like, because I run into this a lot when I'm writing songs, you end up usually going with what kind of rolls off the tongue best. What's the most fun to sing, you know? So somebody who I used to know, or whom I used to know,
doesn't roll as much.
It's not as snappy, right? So you take these liberties. You're like, I know I'm doing this wrong. I know I'm going to get shit for it, but you know what? It's my song, and everybody's going to love it. So here we go.
Yeah. Or I think there's an Elliott Smith song titled the same thing, right?
Is there?
I think so. It's been a hot minute since I've listened to some Elliott Smith.
It's
going to bother me. But yeah.
It is. It's somebody that I used to know.
Yeah. Completely different song, not a cover, not even the same lyrics at all.
Yeah.
But also a good song. But phrased the same way. Have you seen the music video? I mean, everyone's pretty much seen it, I feel like. But
yeah, 1.5 billion views. I think I'm probably maybe four of those. I did. I was just watching it actually before we got on here. It has that kind of DIY feel to it still. And I'm really curious now. I have like all this stuff I want to look up now that I'm thinking about it. Who produced the video? Was it... Because it really matches the album art, like the pencil sketch kind of thing, and the colors sort of prismatic. And the video, I mean, talk about like being honest, he's standing there naked the whole time.
I did get a little bit, I didn't look too much about who produced it or directed it, but I did find factoid that the background and kind of the aesthetic was based on some 1980s artwork that his father made. His name was Frank DeBakker. And he also designed the cover art for that album.
Yeah, he did. I remember that. They went over that in the documentary, how the cover art was, his dad made it. Oh, here's directed by Australian artist Natasha Pincus. But there was like, you know how the cover for the record is like four squares, and they each have like a little swirly inside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one of the squares was like turned another way. So he just went in and made this minor adjustment in Photoshop. He took one of the squares and rotated it so that all of the swirlies kind of went in the same direction. And I thought that was really cool because the attention to detail there is pretty impressive. But yeah, that he could use his dad's art to make a hit record. That's really radical.
Yeah. And I found another kind of snippet. I don't know if this was mentioned in the documentary or not, but at least on MTV, he mentioned that they shot it over 2 days, and then he was just like driving home. It was early in the morning, and he just had all the body paint on him still, and just went through McDonald's. Just ordered a coffee, and he's like, it's okay. McDonald's probably saw some crazier stuff in Australia. This is not the craziest shit they've seen today.
I wonder if he was still naked.
Just naked in the body paint. If this song came out today, in a world where it didn't exist by Gautier, it could be in a completely different style, who do you think would be the one to make this song?
Oh, good question.
Kind of like a Beatles Yesterday kind of scenario.
Yeah, I'm so like out of touch when it comes to what's happening in music right now. It could
by an older band too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The single's so unique because of that sample that he uses. And there's like a lot of really cool other samples, yeah, like string samples and stuff layered over. But his vocals are really what pops. If somebody was going to sing that song like him.
Oh, he's a really good singer.
He's like, crazy.
And,
right?
And it comes off in the chorus, but he's a really, especially in the other songs, it kind of shows more. But he can hit levels.
Yeah, he's got range, dude. And he's got the harmonies. And then he's got the production, yeah, skills on top of that. I thought maybe Kanye West would sample something like this.
Ooh, like, ooh, that's a good point.
Really hooky, you know, and maybe it's,
yeah,
maybe it reminds me a little bit of Bon Iver with that sort of like DIY, you know, honest songwriting action. And Kanye sampled him before too. I'm trying to think of a singer, yeah, though, that I feel like could really pull this song off.
I'm just going to go with, I couldn't think of any offhand. Bon Iver is a great example, and he's worked with Kanye a lot, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some of the critics pointed out some similarities in his voice to Sting and Peter, mm-hmm, Gabriel. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty spot on. Heck, yeah, even I've been listening to a lot of Coming in the Air Tonight. What's his name? Why is it blanking
now? Phil. Good old Phil.
Oh, yeah. Phil Collins. Thank you. I'm like, I've been listening to him a lot. But even those kind of just DIY basics, more, mm-hmm, of a based around the hook than anything.
Yeah. Getting compared to Phil Collins or Peter Gabriel or Sting, that was such a huge compliment, too, man. Those guys are crazy.
Oh, so absolutely. And this has been a lot of covers of this song. So many that he said in the interview that he would just get like 5 emails a day of just different people covering his song.
That's so Mayday cool, Parade. Though.
Yeah. And they're all in different styles. It's honestly kind of an honor. That's got to be a trip to hear, mm-hmm, your songs quoted back to you all the time and hearing different interpretations of it.
Yeah, I think that would be a huge honor. Like, even just to find out that somebody's listening to your song and really loves it is always really humbling. But
oh yeah, that alone. Them,
you know what I mean? Then to have them go through your lyrics and make it their own, I feel like it's in keeping with the spirit too of him making his own thing, and then he takes people's records and he turns that into new music, and now people are taking his song and turning it into their own music. There's just something a little poetic about that, you know?
No, I agree. There was, and I think he made this compilation of literally hundreds of different people covering it on YouTube, and he combined them all into somebody's YouTube orchestra. And it sounds magnificent. It's just all different styles. It's really well mixed. So he must have done it, I'm assuming.
That sounds like
it's really good. I'm gonna link it in this episode as well, but definitely check that out.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, that does sound like a lot of technical work to get that to happen. But I guess if you just are selective about whose video it is you're picking, maybe some of it depends on the audio quality or how it was recorded. Just to get that all to go together, I know from having done enough editing, that sounds like quite a chore.
Yes, it sounds like a pure nightmare. But he pulls it off really well. Props to him for doing that. And there's been EPs and albums of remixes of this song. Like, it's been taken and chewed and remade so many times. Glee did it. Boyce Avenue. Oh, 3 Days Grace, Mayday Parade. There's just Hayley Williams. So many covers of this song.
Dude, it's just so funny. The more we talk about this, it's just getting stuck in my head again.
the actual song?
The actual song is getting more and more stuck in my head, and I'm realizing how different it is.
It was unescapable in its period for a good year or two, at least.
That's
and
crazy.
It was like you said, it came out over the summer, so it was the hot summer track, and then it just kept going.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a song like this coming out now, but also, like, I don't know. I never know what to expect from music right now, what's going to go over well. I feel like as long as you're kind of doing something DIY, you're making something at home or in your bedroom or whatever, like, you're kind of on the right track. That seems to be what's really popping right now, you know?
Yeah, I agree too. Kind of that bedroom lo-fi.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to head into a break, and then we come back. We'll do a little trivia segment, and we'll have fun with it. So Cool. Stay tuned.
Sounds good.
And welcome back to Wonders, the One Hit Wonder podcast. Of course, back here with JJ, we're talking about somebody I used to know, Mike Gauthier. We're jumping into the little trivia segment here. I got a couple questions. I don't believe we've touched too much on any of these topics. I got 5 questions, so we'll see how you do with these. And if you get them wrong, I boot you off the show. No. we just have fun. There are no points. There is no meaning, much like life. So.
Oh, boy. Wow. Question. Okay.
Let's see. Where's the first question? The song sold 13 million copies, which is one of the highest singles of all time. But which song of the following actually sold the most? Was it somebody I used to know?
Choice.
Oh, yeah. They're all multiple choice.
Let's do it.
If I just left it open answer, it would feel way too much like a quiz. Yeah. And I would have secondhand anxiety for everyone.
Thanks for that.
Not that much of a jerk. somebody I used to know, Poker Face or All About That Bass?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Poker Face just because I think Lady Gaga's a beast.
Yeah, that's actually correct. Yeah, she's got 14 million. Somebody I used to know had 13 million and All About That Bass with 11 million for Meghan Trainor.
Those are all within the last 10 years, right? Or so?
Yeah. I kind of picked more recent ones. They're all like in the 11 to 15 million range. They all kind of sold around the same amount in the early 2000s or, 2010s. And then like the highest selling singles of all time is like White Christmas by Bing Crosby Crosby. It's like really old songs because nobody buys singles as much anymore, you know?
Yeah, you just stream them, right?
Everything's streamed. So, yeah. But this hit the sweet spot. iTunes was still a thing when this song came out. So I think that helped.
Right place, right time, man. Real.
Yep.
Cool.
Let's see. What else do I have? The song incorporates a sample. We mentioned the kind of instrumental part, but it also features a sample from a popular nursery rhyme played on a xylophone. Is that song Old MacDonald, Baba Black Sheep, or Pop Goes the Weasel?
I think it's Baba Black Sheep.
Yep, that's that is correct. Baba Black Sheep goes dun 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 dun. All throughout the song, I couldn't put my finger on it until I saw it written down. And I'm glad because it felt kind of like a release. I'm like, someone else noticed it. I'm not going insane.
That's kind of a funny choice to put into that song. I mean, given that I'm trying to think how. Like having a nursery rhyme. I don't even know how Baba Black Sheep goes. It's probably really dark.
Yeah, me neither. I was trying to think of that too. I'm sure it relates to the theme or the lyrics somehow. I don't think he just picked, this is a catchy nursery rhyme. Let's throw it in there. I'm sure there's some sort of, my ex was a black sheep or I don't know. I don't.
Something. Yeah. It's like, it makes me feel like a little kid. I just want to...
Simpler time.
Yeah.
The music video featured a lot of geometric paint shapes, but which shapes did it primarily feature? Squares, triangles, or polka dots?
Polka dots is not a geometric shape.
It's not. In retrospect.
Every show is a bunch of triangles because it all looks like prisms. And like kind of
yeah. Yeah, it's mostly polygons. Triangles. Yeah, that's so funny. God, I love that. And that music video has been parodied a lot too. I think they did it on SNL.
I bet.
it's such a simple concept, going back to the less is more. And I like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like it when it's overproduced.
Yeah. It looks like it could have been made just by a couple people.
Yeah. Got this. Oh, I guess I only wrote four questions. Final question then. How many Grammys did it win? Was it 0, 3, or 69?
3. I think it was 3.
Yep. I did win 3. I don't even think there are 69 Grammys. So I got like daytime Grammys or something. Technicals. it got record of the year. It got best pop group / duo, and then it got best alt album. So kind of swept that year, and then nothing again.
Nothing. So the album actually won Grammys. It wasn't just a single.
Yeah. So the album itself, was it Making Mirrors or something? I already forgot the name of the title of the album. I wrote it down. Making Mirrors. I got that right. Won record of the year. They won best. And they didn't even win best new group. I'm curious who won that. I know the specifications for that are weird. Because technically they had 2 other albums before this. So maybe not.
It's just really interesting that an album could win album of the year or win 2 Grammys for being the best album of the year. Nobody knows anything but the one song. I gotta wonder how many other one-hit wonders are the case. The same thing where the album sold really, really well, but nobody seemed to remember anything else that was on it.
Yeah. I think a lot of, anything predating the internet era, you had to buy pretty much the whole album unless you got like a single vinyl.
Right.
You usually had to buy the whole album and then whatever. Kind of like Come On Eileen with Dexy's Midnight Runners. Like, everyone knows that song.
Uh-huh.
I don't think most people know any of their other songs on that album.
Yeah, I don't.
We did an episode. That's the only reason I know what the other songs on that album. But most people do not know other songs by Dexy's Midnight Runners. But a lot of people bought that record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, simpler times that you said, man. It's a different industry.
Yeah, and you might know offhand, what's the difference between album of the year and record of the year? Because I know they have both of those as separate categories.
I actually don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I forget offhand, but there's some weird distinction between the two. And I don't remember offhand. So look that up, people. I'm not getting that information for you.
I just looked it up. I can tell you right now.
Oh, yeah.
It says record of the year is awarded to the performing artist, producer, recording engineer, and or mixer for that song.
Mm-hmm.
Album of the year is awarded for a whole album. So I guess record is for a song and album of the year is for the album.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. They should just simplify it and say song of the year.
Yeah.
But it does make sense if they're using more of the... Because an album was a physical album before, so
yeah,
I get that.
It says here, too, that for record of the year, it's for the performing artist. Song of the year is for the songwriter. And record of the year is given to the whole team, like artists, producers, engineers, sound mixers, etc. That makes a lot of sense.
And this got record of the year, which is good because it does have really good production. So that's fitting.
Yeah, and as an artist, he did the production, too.
Yeah, so he got double Grammys for himself.
Yeah, good for him, man. Probably sitting on the toilet.
I'm trying to think, where would I put a Grammy if I got... I don't... Because I have some friends that have, like, Emmys and Oscars and stuff for comedy things, and they like to, I don't know, just put it on a coffee table. I don't even know. That's such a weird thing to have around the house, you know?
Yeah.
Where would you put an award like that if you got one?
I was just thinking it'd make a good hood ornament.
It would. Although my car is like a shitty old Corolla, so it'd just be
perfect, man. You know what? Humble means you can win world class awards with, you know.
Yeah.
drive to your award show.
With my beat up Corolla. that's actually a really good place. Yeah, I'll put it on the toilet. So, but don't mention it. No. People, can I use your bathroom? Oh yeah, sure, go ahead. Yeah, or just offer your bathroom as much as possible. You sure you don't need to use a bathroom before you leave? I think we covered the song pretty well. Of course, I brought you on. You have a new single coming out, I believe, right?
Yeah, February 22nd, I have a single called Mavericks, and it's been also a very DIY effort. We produced the whole thing in-house at Radio Fire Records, and it was really, really fun to make. Got all my friends in on it, and learned a lot in the process, but I'm really excited for it to come out. We've got a good campaign going for this. I hope a lot of people get to hear it, and starting to rehearse the band for some shows too. I hope get this song out there, and be great to be able to perform it somewhere live. But if not, you know, keep doing the live stream thing. It's all good.
Yeah,
get a little stir crazy.
I feel you with that comedy too. It's good. It's a good alternative, but it's not the same thing as again the living, breathing blood and skin response from people.
Yeah.
And I listened to your two other singles you have on Spotify, Sports and Space Grenade, I believe.
Yeah.
Is it the same kind of vibe as those or a different direction?
I think it fits in pretty well. It's a little more, it's like more guitar heavy on this one. I really took a lot of influence from Weezer on this track.
Yes. Have you heard their new album?
You know, we were listening to it in the car yesterday on a way to rehearsal, and I thought it was really interesting. I learned that that Rivers plays piano for this whole record. He doesn't play any guitar for it. So the places where, you know, the Weezer songs would normally get really, really big and electric guitars would come in, instead you get strings and, you know, orchestral elements coming in. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And I know this episode isn't about Weezer, but I honestly love Weezer so much. So I do know they recorded this album, I want to say, about 2 years ago, and it's all heavy orchestra based. And then they plan to do that big stadium tour with like Fall Out Boy and I think Green Day, actually.
Yeah,
like,
that's
this is not a great album to be touring in big stadiums with. And so they're putting out another album this year, Van Weezer, which is more electric guitar solo anthem stuff. But I really like this one so far.
Didn't they do some Van Weezer stuff already? I feel like I heard about that like a year ago.
Yeah, they tried to put it out last April or May because they were about to go on that big stadium tour, and then COVID hit and they're like, let's push this back a year. So there's some songs out from it. And I think it's coming out in like May now. But they had this other experimental album on deck. I dig it. The production's great, but it doesn't sound a lot like their other stuff. So depends what
good
you're looking for.
Yeah. Always a good songwriting.
And he's got good vocals too. So go listen to JJ's new single, 22nd, you said?
Yep,
and this is coming out tomorrow, which tomorrow is today if you're listening to this tomorrow, which is February 8th. It comes out in about 2 weeks. Keep tabs on that. Can they follow you on any social platforms?
Yep, I'm on Instagram at jj.braves. That's the best place to get in touch. I'd love to hear from anybody. I'm always looking to collab with people too, so if you're interested in making some music, please hit me up. And that's probably the best way.
Yeah. Follow JJ, and then follow Radio Fire Records too. I'm gonna plug that, which I'm looking up the handle. It's Radio Fire Records, all one word. You can find that on Instagram. I'll drop that in the show description as well. You can find this podcast, Wonders Pod, on Instagram as well, and Ian Zandy doing Zoom shows until we can open back up and get out there in person. But thank you for listening. Next week, I believe, we have a Valentine's Day themed episode. And from there, we have fun. Do more one-hit wonders. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.